2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, of course, is the theme for Dallas Seminary. It says, preach the word. I'm going to get to be there this week, and I love being on campus. And I think this verse is powerful for all of us because the key is to preach the word of God. Proclaim the truth of God's word. And this is the foundation for ministry. It's the foundation for growth. People talk about the Bible. They say, what about, you know, the church and how do churches grow and what do they do? I think the bottom line goes back to the word of God. The Bible is key in our lives. It's the authority in our lives. The Bible gives us the basis of how we're to live, what we're to do. 2 Timothy 3:16 says it's inspired of God. It's from God for our benefit. There's a second thing about the Bible. Not only is it the authority for our lives, but it brings growth. If you realize that, 1 Peter 2:2 says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may what? Grow by it. You grow by the truth of God's word as you make application in your life. Isaiah 55:11 says it never comes back void, but accomplish every purpose that it has. So God's word never comes back void. As you study it, as you get taught it, as you put it together in your lives, it's going to change us. Our goal is to know, apply, and teach it as a body, and that's what we want to do, help each other grow. And it's through the word of God. This evening, as we continue, we're looking at Nehemiah, and as we finish chapter 8, this is what we see. The emphasis is on the word of God. All the people come together, and they're going to celebrate, and what they do is they come together to study the Bible. I think it's incredible. And what we see is how do they respond to the truths of the word of God. We find it ties together, of course, with the celebration of this feast, and we'll talk about that later. Well, let's begin. Under the leadership of Nehemiah. Nehemiah had been living under the Persian king, and he had in his heart, God raised in his heart that he would go back because he'd heard about Jerusalem and the wall was torn down and the gates were burned with fire, and he had in his heart to go back, and he talked to the king, and the king said yes, and he went back. And in a very short time, under tremendous leadership principles that we have seen in the first 6 or 7 chapters of this book, we saw how Nehemiah united those people and built that wall in the midst of great opposition. And I think it's kind of fun. You can go back to those chapters and you can get those leadership principles that were mentioned in each one that we talked about. And I mean, you can put those down and you can say, you know, these are some pretty good principles for any leader in any position because there's some great things there. It's pretty powerful. And we're seeing that the wall has now been rebuilt. Even though there was great persecution from within, persecution from without, problems from within, 52 days, the whole thing was built, incredible. And now at the completion, we see the meeting of the nation. The people are going to come together. What we're going to see is two things. First of all, on the first day of the month, and we'll talk about that in just a second, all of the people come together. And then after that day, they send everybody home, and then the leaders come back on the second day of the month, and we'll see what happens there. It's a very special time. The wall was completed right at the end of the 6th month. We're now beginning the 7th month for the 7th month of the Jewish calendar. 7th month of Jewish calendar is special because that's New Year's. 7th month has 3 special feasts in it. First, on the first day of the 7th month, is called the Feast of Trumpets. It's New Year's Day. It's called Rosh Hashanah. On the 10th day of the 7th month is the high holy day in all of Israel. It's called Yom Kippur, the day of covering. And then on the 15th through the 21st day of the 7th month is the feast that they call the Feast of Booths, Feast of Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. They all mean the same thing, and we're going to see that. Let me give you the outline for our study as we look at chapter 8 tonight. Some of it we have seen, we saw last time, and so we'll go fairly quickly through the first part of it. This is chapter 8. And we're talking about reading and teaching God's Word. And once again, this is, it's just not going to get any better than that. Reading and teaching God's Word. In the first eight verses, they come together. Ezra reads the Scripture. There's the reading and the teaching. It's pretty powerful. Then we see in 9 through 12, it's a holy day for the people. We sometimes might even say it's a holiday because it's a holy day. Those people find out. And then they come back to celebrate the Feast of Booths. And that's what we'll see. And so we'll look at the whole chapter. We're going to actually talk just a little bit about the feast. We've done entire studies that took weeks to go through the different feasts of Israel because they're all a foreshadow of Jesus Christ and God's plan, and we'll see more of that. As we study through this passage, the central thing when they come together is the reading and the study of the Word of God. That's the key for us. When we gather together, in fact, the Bible tells us that when we come together, there should be the reading, the exhortation, and the application, the teaching of the Bible, and applying it. That's the key. 2 Timothy says we're to study the Bible. 2 Timothy says there's reading, exhortation, and teaching, both individually and corporately. And let me just challenge you that the truth is this. We know that the goal and the plan that when we gather, whether it's a Sunday morning, a Sunday night, a Wednesday night, any other gathering that we do, the goal is the study of the Word of God, that we would teach the Scripture, that we'd look at it, we'd understand it, make application. That's corporately. That's our goal as a local body. We ought to also have a goal individually that you would say, my goal individually is that I will have my own personal study of the Scripture. I'm not talking about a quiet time. I think a quiet time and a study time, two different things. Quiet time is where we get in there and we pray and we do verses and we do things and we read and we think about it. A study time is where you go to the Word of God, you take a portion of Scripture and you dig it. You do what we call the observation, interpretation, application, where you're looking through the Scripture, you're trying to put it together and see how it fits. I think all of us not only corporately come together to study the Bible, I think individually we put as a central thing in our lives that we study the Bible so we can know it and apply it and then help pass it on as well. The plan here in this passage is that the people would come together. They come together on the first day of the month. They would normally, because it's a holiday, a special holiday, the people would come together. This is probably the first time they've actually come together in years that the city of Jerusalem was, we might say, a whole city. The wall is all the way around. The gates are fixed. It's their city again. And I think it's going to be a special time. Ezra's back after 13 years. Ezra, a man who wanted to know the Bible and apply it and teach it. And we see the details. Look at chapter 8. Look at verse 1. It said, now all the people gathered as one man in the square, which was in front of the water gate. And they asked Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. I like this verse because the people gathered. We mentioned last week, why didn't they gather at the temple area? The water gate was in the south. Eastern, let me think. Yeah, if you take the city, actually it'd be the northeastern part of the city because the city's facing facing that way, north, east, and west. And so the water gate was in that little section, and it was where it was a big square there. So apparently they just said, let's let everybody gather in that big section, and they all came together. All the people gathered as one man in the square, which was in front of the water gate, and they asked. Notice they asked Ezra the scribe. Now, you know, when you read the Bible, there are all these people like scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees and all these people. And sometimes they're all, you know, they got bad names. And we think, oh, Pharisees, we don't like them. But the scribes were really sort of the educated people. They were the scholars. They copied the Scripture. They were the ones that had studied the Bible. And so if you had Bible questions, you might ask a scribe, you might say. And he would look at the places that they'd copied and they would tell you what they know. So Ezra, remember, as a scribe, had already purposed that he was going to dig the Scripture. Then he was going to apply it. Then he was going to pass it on to others. That was his plan. I've always said that Ezra chapter 7 verse 10 would be a great verse for every one of us to apply in our lives. That we'd make a goal that we would study the Bible, that we would apply it in our own lives, and he would pass it on to others. If we do that, we would fulfill the passage in 2 Timothy 2:2 where you take what you've been taught and pass it on to other people. That's the key. Well, they gather as one person. But notice what it says. They ask Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Now, what do you think he's going to study from, read from? Huh? Well, we know it's got to be, what, Old Testament, there's no doubt, because they ain't got anything else. But anyway, what do you think, any section, what particular section? Huh? First five books, most likely, because it said the book of the law of Moses. Now, the law of Moses was called the Torah. And it was Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's the same thing we have. I think they're going to read that because we're going to find that obviously they're going to be reading from Leviticus chapter 23 as we look at this because they come up with some different things. We'll see it a little bit later as we go through it. So here's what's going to happen. They're all there. They ask Ezra to bring the book of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. I like that. The Lord had given the Word of God to Israel. The Lord has given to us this Bible. And I don't think we should ever take for granted how powerful it is, that it is God's Word, that we hold in our hand written revelation from the living God. I think we take it for granted. I don't think we really understand what we have in our hands. There is a God. He is a true God. He created it all. He holds it all together. He spoke it into existence. He works all things according to the counsel of His will. And He has actually revealed Himself to human beings on this earth. And we hold the revelation of God in a written form in our hands. We have God's revelation. And notice what it says, the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. This is pretty powerful. Look what happens. Then Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men, women, and all those who could listen with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. then not only was it what we call the men and women, but it was also maybe some of the younger people who had understanding, who were old enough to say, we can understand, we want to be there too. But we're talking a big crowd of people is there. And it says they brought before the assembly men and women, all who could listen with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. Jewish calendar is unique. Their first month is not where they have their new year. The first month is the month of Nisan. It corresponds to our March and April. Their seventh month corresponds to our September, October. This is we're in the seventh month of Israel right now. In fact, it just started just a few days ago, really. And in fact, let me put this calendar. I don't think you can see it. I wish I'd have done something different, but I just forgot. This is our regular calendar. This is September. But if you notice in the, and I can't even read it up there, but the first day of the month of what they call Tishri, which is the seventh month in the Jewish calendar, started on our sixth of September. It's called Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah means the head of the year. That's what Rosh means. Rosh means the head. Rosh Hashanah means the head of the year. And it's the Feast of Trumpets. And I don't think you can read it because I can't read it from here. Of course, I can't see anything anyway, but that might be a little bit better. But anyway, that's the first day of the seventh month. It's New Year's Day. And it is the year 5763 Jewish calendar. Just changed. And so if you were Jewish, you would be saying, hey, we just had New Year's celebration. And it's a new year. In fact, in this month, we're going to have a bunch of holidays. We're going to have the new year, and then we're going to have the 10th day of the month, which is a holiday, which is really kind of a sad holiday. It's a tough holiday. And then we're going to have the 15th through the 21st, which is where they are right now. So they all come together on the new year, the Feast of Trumpets. And they're gathered. And they're all going to, what they're going to do, watch, verse 3. It says, and he read from the law, before the square which was in front of the water gate from early morning, maybe as early as 6 o'clock in the morning. Remember last week I told you about that there would be a priest and he stayed on the edge of the temple and he was on the eastern side in the mornings and he got up real early before the sun had come up. And we talked about last week that many of you have never seen the sun come up. But anyway, he was there and he watched that sun come up. And just as soon as he thought the sun was actually peeking up over the horizon, he blew the shofar, which said, it's now daytime. In the old days, the temple gates would be open right then. But since they were worried, and we saw last week when we studied this, they didn't open them until later on in the day because they didn't want the enemies to sneak into the city while it was still a little bit dark. There was another priest that would stay on the other side of the temple toward the end of the day. And as soon as he thought the sun was down, he would blow the shofar and say, the day is over. That's how they did it. And actually, when that day was over, it started the next day. Their day begins in the evening. In fact, tonight, already, it's Monday night. Jewish calendar. The day comes first. The evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the second day. They got it from God. They go day, night first and then day. So starting tonight at 6 o'clock, basically around 6, basically sundown, but that you can look at a Jewish calendar and it tells you when the official day ends and the other day begins. This is Monday night. And it'll be Monday night and then it'll be Monday day. Then what we call our Monday night will be Tuesday night. And then Tuesday day, because their night goes first. So they're all there gathered around. This is on the first day of the month. They're all excited. It's really New Year's, and they're going to study the Bible. He read from it from before the square, which was in front of the water gate, from early morning until midday. Midday is probably 12 o'clock, around that. They've been standing there hearing the Word of God read and taught for about 6 hours. I mean, if they started, they could even start as late as 7, let's just put it that way. So they 5 hours. Early in the morning until midday, in the presence of the men and women, those who could understand, and all the people, I love this, all the people were attentive to the book of the law. It's amazing that they stood there and they listened to him read the scripture, and we're going to see that there was a big platform and there were people on this side and people on this side and they were explaining, and so the groups were in, and he would teach or read and the other people would read it and understand it and they would explain it. It was a big teaching thing going on. All these people listening to the Word of God for 5-6 hours. All the people were attentive to the Word of God. Ezra the scribe stood at a wooden podium which they had made for the purpose. and beside him stood, and they began to list some names, 14 total names, 6 were on his right, 7 were on his left. 14 total as they stand up there in front of these people and list all those names. I'm not going to read them all, but look what he did. Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood. Isn't that amazing? On a Sunday morning, what do? Well, we're already standing. So I say, turn to the Bible. You know, in the old days, there were some times at Countryside when we weren't standing, when I would come up and I would say, would you stand as we read the Word of God? When he began to open the book of the law, the people stood up. Now, I want you to know, they didn't have a bunch of chairs. You know, what were they sitting on? The ground. And then they stand up as he opens the scripture. And notice, Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered and said, Amen, amen, while lifting up their hands, and they bowed low and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. It's incredible. Amen means truth. True, true, they said. True, true. Why? Because bless the Lord, the great God. You can hear Ezra standing up and saying, Oh Lord God, you are the great God. You are our shield and our defender. You're the almighty, eternal, all-powerful God who created all things, calls all things into being. And the people said, Amen, amen, it's true, it's true. And they lifted up their hands and they bowed low and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And by the way, if you notice, if your Bible, the word for Lord there, it's all capital letters, L-O-R-D. Just for you to know this, and most people do know this, but when you look, especially in your Old Testament, you'll see sometimes it'll be a capital L and then little O-R-D, and then sometimes it'll be a capital L and then a capital O and a capital R and a capital D. When you see a capital L-O-R-D, all capitals, it's the Hebrew word for Yahweh. It's Y-H-W-H. That's the personal name of God. If you see a big capital letter and then little letters, it's Adonai, which it's just a different name. It means sort of a master, where this other word right here is the personal name of God. And so they stood up and they praised him and raised up their hands and they worshiped the Lord, the personal God, with their faces to the ground. It's an incredible time. I think that sometimes, and we're probably all guilty of this, that we come to church and it's really an opportunity for us corporately to worship the everlasting God. And sometimes we might be singing and we're not even thinking about what we're singing. That ever happened to you? It means the song is going, you know the song so well, great is thy faithfulness, O Lord, you know, great is thy faithfulness. And they thought about it, great is his faithfulness. So be careful. What did these people do? They said, this is the personal God who loves us, who has protected us, who has allowed us to build all this back, who has allowed us to come together. We're looking at his word and we're blessing his name. Verse 7 begins to name some names and it names all these names. And notice the last part of verse 7, they're called the Levites. Notice what it says. They explained the law to the people while the people remained in their place. They explained it to them. I want to read something to you. You don't have to turn there, but this is Deuteronomy 33. Just listen to this. This was the role of the priest in the Old Testament. Sometimes we wonder, what did those guys do? I mean, they offered sacrifices. We know they kind of hung around the temple area. But listen to what the role of the priest is. This is in Deuteronomy 33, verse 10. Here's their role. You shall teach... talking about they, and they're talking about the priest. They, the priest, shall teach your ordinances to Jacob and your law to Israel. They shall put incense before you and the whole offerings on your altar. The priests were the ones who were to teach the word of God to the people. If your impression was that these priests just hung around the temple and all people did is when they had sins, they would come up and go, I've sinned, here's my animal, let's get this thing over with so I can go back home. If that's your impression, that was part of their responsibility. But they served at the temple in these different orders, actually set up by King David, and they would teach the people the Word of God. Where did the priest live, the priest and Levites live, when they weren't serving? How many? What? And in their hometowns, there were 48 cities scattered all over the land of Israel. What do you think they did when they lived in those hometowns? They taught people the Bible, yeah.
And the schools the boys went to.
Yeah, well, the yeshiva school, yeah, there were different schools that guys went to, and they wanted to study and they wanted to know the Bible. They taught people the Scripture. Notice what it goes on to say in verse 8. And they read from the book of the law. I love this part right here. Translating to give the sense so that they could understand the reading. Isn't that the plan? Sometimes we look at the Bible and we go, what in the world is that saying? And then as you study it and you put it together, you go, I'm seeing it now. I'm seeing how this fits. I'm seeing what this means. Part of the responsibility that I have as a pastor, because the Bible talks about that the pastors help to equip the saints, do the work of the ministry, build up the body of Christ, and that we're to teach the word in season, out of season. Part of the privilege and responsibility I get to do is I get to study the Bible and then come and help make sense of what it says so that you can understand it. That's the plan. Some passages are easy to understand. Everybody can read them and go, oh yeah, I got that. Some places it's not so easy. Some places you have to make sure you see the whole picture, the whole letter. How does it fit? Book of Hebrews is like that. You can't just go to Hebrews, book of Hebrews and pull a couple of verses out and understand how they fit, especially Hebrews 6 and Hebrews 10. You have to have an understanding of the whole letter and how it all flows. It is a responsibility that I have. By the grace of God, I get to do this. I get to help explain it. And so in the same way, those people were there and they read from the book, from the law of God, translating it to give the sense so that they understood the reading. That's the goal of our church. When we gather together, is what we call expository teaching, where you take the Bible verse by verse, passage by passage, and you teach it so people can understand it. That's the plan. What a special day. This large crowd of people gathered to hear the Word of God being taught, and they sought to understand it. They sought to apply it. What is going to be the response by these people? Look what we find. Then Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and the scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the law. Why were they weeping? Huh? What do you think? I think so. I mean, you know, they had been disobedient. They hadn't kept all this law. I mean, it's the first time they've read the thing in a while. First time they've all gathered in a while. And so they begin to read the Bible, and these people begin to go, whoa, man, have we blown it. But look what Ezra and Nehemiah said to the people. They said, wait a minute, whoa, whoa, whoa. This day is holy to the Lord your God. Don't mourn or weep. This is a holiday. What holiday is it? What day is this? No, it's not trumpets. It's the first, it's what? Oh, did you say trumpets? I'm sorry, I thought you said trumpets. Yeah, it was trumpets. Yeah, exactly right. I'm sorry, I misunderstood you. I thought you said tabernacles. It is the first day of the month. It's New Year's Day, so it's a big holiday. I'm sorry, John. Yeah, I messed you up, didn't I? Because I, yeah. Well, when she was right and I said, boy, she's wrong, you thought, what else could it possibly be? I mean, yeah, good. Okay, so here they are. It's supposed to be a big holiday, and all the people weeping when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, verse 10, go, eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, and send portions to him who has nothing prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Isn't that a great verse? The joy of the Lord is your strength. He says, wait a minute, you guys, this is a holiday. This is the first day of the seventh month. This is New Year's Day. This is the day of trumpets. This is the ingathering. This is a picture of all of us coming together in the land. Have the Jews been in the land as a people? Not very much. I mean, they had been taken off into captivity, and only about 50,000 people had ever come back. And the Feast of Trumpets is a picture of when everybody comes back. It's a picture of the kingdom, by the way. We'll talk more about it in just a few minutes. And so he says, listen to this, guys. He said, go and eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, send portions, give presents to other people, make sure everybody's got it. This is a day that is holy to the Lord. Don't be grieved. Don't be grieved. Why? For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Wow, this is powerful. So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. Anybody know Psalm 46, what it says? Be still and know that I am God. He said, be still, listen, stop. Sometimes we get so upset about things, and God says, would you just stop for a minute and just listen to who I am? Just rest for a minute. I'm God. Everything's in control. It may not look like it, but everything is in control. And so the Levites calmed all the people, saying, be still, stop. for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. Sometimes we need to stop and take a look at what's going on. Our strength is in God. We've all failed. We've all come short of the glory of God, but God is a God of grace, love, and mercy, and we need to rest in that. Look what happened. All the people went away to eat and to drink and to send portions and to celebrate a great festival because they understood the words which had been made known to them. You know what they said? We're having a great time because for a long time we never understood the Bible. Now we're understanding the Bible. Have you ever seen people what they're like when they begin to understand the Bible? I'll never forget Prof. Hendricks telling us the story of this guy he had been sort of discipling. And this guy was reading the Bible, and he came up to Hendricks and said, "Hey, Hendricks, come here. Let me show you what I've seen." And he opens the Bible. He said, "Look at this, Prof. Look at this." And Prof. could have said, "Well, yeah, you know, 27 years ago when I first saw that." But Prof. said, no. He said, "I went, you saw that? My gracious, that is so fantastic." See, when people see the Scripture, they get so excited. And these people went away that day because they were saying, because they understood the words which had been made known to them. What are you like when you study the Bible and all of a sudden it clicks? And you go, "That's the first time I've ever put that passage together. That's the first time I've ever seen that. That's incredible. That fits over here. Now I see how this stuff is fitting together." Don't you get excited? It's incredible. And the people left that day going, "We love this stuff. This stuff's good. We're understanding it. And we're having a party too. What could be better than that?" Well, then watch. Then on the second day of what? Second day of the month. Right? The month of Tishri is the second day of the month. The heads of the fathers' households of all the people and the priests and the Levites were gathered to Ezra the scribe. Who came together on the first day? Huh? Everybody that could understand. On the second day, who's coming together? Just the heads. The leaders of the families, the leaders of the priests, the Levites. They were gathered to Ezra the scribe that they may gain insight into the words of the law. They said, "Hey, some of the leaders, we've all decided to come back because we need some more of this stuff. Because if we're going to head up this stuff, if we're going to head up our families, if we're going to head up the households, if we're going to head up the tribes, if we're going to head up the cities, we're going to have to know what? The Word of God." That's why men, let's face it, if you're the head of your home and you're supposed to be, who's going to have to know the Scripture to direct the family? You are. The leadership, the heads. And so they all come back and they said, "We better know Scripture so that we can gain insight into the Word." You know, it's funny that once people start learning and growing, you can't hardly stop it. But you don't want to stop it, but you can't. They're so excited. So watch. They found written, now here they're going to study the Bible. Look what they find. They found written in the law how the Lord had commanded through Moses that the sons of Israel should live in booths during the feast of the seventh month. That's called the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles. They read in the Bible. What do you think they're reading? Where is that listed? Anybody know? Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23, verses 36 through 39. It's also found in Deuteronomy. There's different places in the Old Testament in which it actually talks about the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles. And they were reading the Bible, and look, they went, "Oh, look at here." Now, don't you think they should have known that? Don't you think they should have known what the different feasts of Israel are? What's one of the main feasts of Israel that you think of? Can you think of any feast of Israel? Passover, yeah, 14th day, first month. Unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost, trumpets, Day of Atonement. They're reading the Bible and go, hey, look at here. It says on the 21st through the 15th through 21st, you know, we're supposed to do something. What are we supposed to do? Well, says we're supposed to go live outside our houses for about 7 days. We're supposed to get these little lean-tos. We're supposed to get some tents. We're supposed to get some bushes. And we're going to live outside of our real house for about 7 days. It's called the Feast of Booths. We're going to live in these little booths. Wonder why we're going to do that? Well, don't you remember? It's a picture of us being taken care of by God when we were in the wilderness and we just wandered around. We didn't have any permanent homes in those days and we wandered around and God took care of us. So He didn't want us to forget how He takes care of us all the time. And so that's why He gave us this feast. And so it says, and they found written in the law how the Lord had commanded through Moses that the sons of Israel should live in booths during the feast of the seventh month. And they said, hey, we better do what it says. Now, in the feast of the first month, there is the Feast of Trumpets, the feast, the Day of Atonement, which is the 10th day of the month, and then on the 15th to the 21st is this feast, which is called Tabernacles or Booth. Watch what they decided to do. So they proclaimed and circulated a proclamation in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, "Go out to the hills, bring out olive branches, wild olive branches, myrtle branches, palm branches, branches of other leafy trees to make booths, as it is written." We better go get us some little, you know, we're going to make some little lean-tos. We're going to make some little places that we're going to live for 7 days. We're going to come outside of our houses. Now, they got a while to do this because this is the second day of the month, and this thing doesn't start till the 15th day of the month. So the people went out, and they brought them, and they made booths for themselves, each one on his roof. Sometimes you can do it outside. Sometimes you do it on top, and in their courts, and in the courts of the houses of God, and in the square at the water gate, and the square of the gate of Ephraim. They did this everywhere. Now, let me tell you, a lot of Jewish homes, if you know, that they were just usually a square home with, when you'd go inside, there would be one, there'd be basically a main room. There'd be a place either in a different room or on the side, which was lower, their kitchen, where they would have their fire. And then they usually had only just one other room or maybe two in that whole place where people slept. Sometimes then they had these roofs. They had a flat roof, and usually, many times, especially in the hot part of the year, they slept on top of the roof. There was a law that said, one of the laws said, make sure that on your house that you build a fence, a little fence around the top of your roof, so that your neighbor doesn't accidentally go up on top of your roof to meet with you and fall off and get hurt, and then you're responsible. So you've got to build like a little thing around it, because a lot of people stayed up there. So they said, listen, here's what we're going to do. Since we got 7 days to live outside of our homes, we can either build these little lean-tos on top of our roofs or on the side or out in the square. We can just fix this anywhere because we're going to live, and it's a picture of how God took care of us in the wilderness. So look at verse 17. Here's what they did. And the entire assembly of those who returned from the captivity made booths and lived in them. And the sons of Israel had indeed, had not done so from the days of Joshua the son of Nun to that day. And they were great rejoicing. They'd really not done it this way, they're saying, for years and years and years. It was a special time. By the time, when it was the time of Jesus, there was a tradition then at the Feast of Booths. On the last day, the priest would go to the temple. He would take a silver pitcher of water, come out of the temple, go in front of the altar in front of all the people, and pour it out. Picturing a pouring out of the Holy Spirit, a pouring out of cleansing, a pouring out of the water of life. If you remember in the New Testament, during the Feast of Booths, probably the exact time that the priest came out and poured that water out, Jesus said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me." That was at the Feast of Booths. It was right there. They saw the water being poured out, and Jesus goes, "Oh, by the way, if anybody's really thirsty, come to me. I'm the living water." That's at the Feast of Booths. Incredible. There was great rejoicing. And look at verse 18. He read from the book of the law of God daily. Daily. For how many days, I wonder? Well, for those 7 days at least. From the first day to the last day, and they celebrated the feast 7 days. And then on the eighth day, there was a solemn assembly according to the ordinance. Now, I don't know if you've ever read the part in Leviticus 23, verses 33 through 36. I hope I gave those verses right a while ago. It's 33 through 36. But when they would, on the first day of the feast of tabernacles or booths, it was a holy day, a Sabbath day. Sabbath just means rest day. You could have more than one Sabbath in a week. And then on the eighth day, it was a rest day or a Sabbath day. It was set apart so that they had just time to rest, so to speak. Now, let me just remind you of something about the feast. I'm sorry that it's not any better than this, because I can't see it and I'm standing right here. But on the first day, and I got this. This was the first day of the month. It took place on basically September the 6th, but it was the first day of the seventh month called Rosh Hashanah. It started in the evening. This was the first whole day. So this little thing will say, Feast of Trumpets Eve. And then here's the first day. And then they went all the way to the 10th day of the month. And let me find it. On the 10th day of the month, which is about our 15th, it says, Eve of Atonement. And the 16th day, which would be a Monday, would be the Day of Atonement. That's the High Holy Day. What's so strange to me is they read this passage, right? They read from Leviticus. And as they read through the Word of God, this was on the second day of the month. They've already celebrated trumpets. What would have been the next feast that they would have talked about? The Day of Atonement. They never mentioned it. What do they mention? Feast of Booths or Tabernacles. I don't know. Maybe they had had enough sorrow and they didn't want to think about that, but that was one of the key. Over here, you get to right here, would be our Friday. But I want you to understand, see, it would be our Friday night, but what would it be for Jewish people? It would be Saturday night. Saturday night was the eve of the Feast of Tabernacles, and Saturday would be the first day. Now, we're over here. We're on the second day. This is a Sunday. This is where we are. This is the second day of the Feast of Tabernacles. So today, I just got a report from, I get a thing from Jerusalem that comes in really every day, and it's basically what's happening in Israel, what's happening in Jerusalem, and I got one yesterday and one today, and they all deal with the Feast of Tabernacles, how the people are celebrating in Jerusalem the Feast of Tabernacles. We're reading about it right here in that part of the world. They're celebrating it right now, what we find in the Word of God. It's a remembrance. Let me remind you of the feast. There are a number of feasts, but in Leviticus 23, there are seven feasts that are yearly feasts that are a picture of Jesus Christ. On the 14th day of the first month of Nisan is Passover. It's a picture of Jesus Christ as the Passover lamb. Jesus Christ died years later from the time that this was first given, which was when they came out of Egypt, Passover, until Jesus Christ. He came as the Passover lamb. Jesus died on what day? 14th day of the first month, Passover. A second feast began on the 15th day of the month and lasted the 21st. It was called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Leaven always represented what? You may know? Sin. Unleavened was no sin. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is a picture of two things. One, the picture of Christ without sin. Second, the picture of the believer who has come to Christ, who is to live a sinless, holy life. On the Sunday in the week of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, on the real Sunday in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, there is a feast called the Feast of First Fruits. It's always a picture of resurrection. They go out and they get the very first fruit out of the ground. Jesus Christ rose from the grave on what day? Sunday, which was the Feast of First Fruits. It's a picture of Jesus Christ. They would count up 50 days after First Fruits to a feast which means 50, was called Pentecost. It was traditionally supposed to be the traditional giving of the Mosaic Law. Nobody knows that for sure, but that's what they celebrated. It actually was the day that the church age began on the Feast of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. Then there was the seventh month. This is now the fourth feast, the seventh month, or the fifth feast, and it was the Feast of Trumpets, which we just saw. Then on the 10th day of the seventh, and Feast of Trumpets is a picture of ingathering. It's the picture of the kingdom. It's the picture of the people coming together and gathering together. The Feast Day of Atonement is a sad day, but it's also a picture of the death. And as atonement was the covering for sin, it was a foreshadow of Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God who did not cover sin, but did what? Took away the sin of the world. And then the 15th through the 21st, what we've seen even tonight, is the Feast of Tabernacles, which for the Jewish person reminded them of how God took care of them in the wilderness, but it is a foreshadow of the kingdom age in which we live with Him in a sense in protection, because booths are not houses. They're not strong protective things. They're open, and it's God saying, you don't have to worry. I am your protection. And then the kingdom in the future, He is the protection of all. So that's the seven feasts that you see there, the Passover, Unleavened Bread, First Fruits, Pentecost, Trumpets, Atonement, and Tabernacle. We can learn from those because they're foreshadows, or they were foreshadows of Jesus Christ. We see in this passage the people being taught the Word of God, and they are affected by the Word of God, and they're excited about the Word of God. I thank God for you, because what I see from you, and I see it on a weekly basis, people who are excited about the Word of God. That's the key. Knowing it, being excited, living it out. What have we seen? They gathered for the reading of the Word. There was awe and reverence for the Bible. There was sadness and joy. And on that second day, as they sent everybody out, the second day the leaders returned, and as they studied, they realized about the Feast of Booths. So the people celebrated the Feast of Booths. And notice that it says they read daily from the Word of God. They studied it over and over. Let me give you two or three applications or a couple of applications and we'll open up for any questions. First of all, let's put central in our lives the study of God's Word. Individually, know and apply the Bible. Make a decision that you're going to study it. And I'm not talking quiet time. I'm not talking because a quiet time is an everyday thing where you get up and you have your quiet time and you read and you pray and you study. I mean, you look at the stuff. And I'm talking about where you're actually digging the Word of God on your own. You could take any book, any passage, anything you want, something that you're interested in, and you dig it. You're going to have a time and a place that you do it. Base your life on the truths of God's Word. That's individually. For a church, we've got to stay strong doing that. We've got to do that. You've heard me say this many times, and I mean this sincerely. If the day ever comes where I do not teach the Bible, then you fire me. You find you a pastor who is going to teach the Word of God. That's all we have. That's why we gather. Take advantage of the truths of studying the Bible and as a body, as we come together to read it, interpret, and apply it. Second aspect of making the Bible central in our lives is realize how it affects us. It affects us emotionally. When we realize our sin, it makes us sad. When we realize His faithfulness, it gives us the joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. It affects our actions. The Word of God is to change our lives. Now, it's great to know it. It's great to get excited and say, look what I found over here. Here's the question. With what you find, do you live it out? Does it change your life? That's the key. One other thing to apply to think about through all of this is understand the foreshadows from the Old Testament. They are everywhere. They're especially in the feast. They're in the temple. They're in the priesthood. They're in the sacrifices. They're in everything. But when I think about the Feast of Israel, the Passover lamb as the Savior and the King, the trumpets and the tabernacles and Day of Atonement, they all point to Jesus and what He did and what He is going to do. And so let's be excited as we understand those things. May we keep our focus on the teaching of God's Word so that we can know it and apply it and pass it on so we can grow and others can grow. Keep being excited about the Bible. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much about Your Word and how much is there, and it's just so powerful. And as we study it, may we apply it and understand it. Lord, may we keep central in our lives the Word of God, both as a church and individually. We know it affects us, and I pray, Lord, that we'll grow and change. Lord, also help us as we study the Bible and we see these foreshadows, we see things from the Old Testament that really point to Christ. May we be excited. And Lord, day in and day out, may we continue to be excited about Your Word, not only knowing it and being excited about it, but applying it as well. Thank You for these truths. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.